We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Well, joining us on the line, one Jack McCaffrey, Delco's Times, excellent sports columnist. Good morning, Jack.
Good morning,
Jack. Hi, John. Jack, I'm going to start it off. I was reading your column you have on Brett Brown and what he did during the All-Star break, which is, you know, Billy King's with us this morning, and, you know, typically you expect a lot of either players or coaches to maybe check out entirely for a couple days before returning and then just refocusing. Brett didn't exactly do that, did he?
Well, he went to Portland, Maine, and which he generally does on the All-Star break. He visits his parents. They're elderly. He visits them there. He enjoys the restaurants there, and he rents a room. And in that room, he surrounds himself with scouting reports or play sheets or playbooks and stats and videos and just studies them for days at a time to try to figure out how to make his team better. He says he's done that for 20 years. He's been in the NBA. It's what he does. He uses that All-Star break to do intense study. This year it's particularly important. They have 27 games left. To make a run, and as you can tell from the Josh Harris's comments last year and Elton Brand's comments this year, he's on a little bit of a timing device here. He's got to get this done, Brett Brown, in order to keep his job. So he worked very hard during that All-Star break. He comes back with some decent ideas, has decided that Al Horford's going to come off the bench, even if he is making a $109 million contract. Mm-hmm. At whatever implication that is to the front office who signed that $109 million contract, he's going to do it his way, and he's going to make an effort here to put the Sixers over the top. And certainly, if they do, it's because he worked hard at it.
Well, we're going to revisit Horford in just a moment, but I have to ask you about this. So when Brett spoke yesterday at practice, I want you to hear this audio bite of what he had to say, and it had to do with something that you and I and every Sixers fan have noticed over these past few years about the on-court rapport between Joel and Ben. Listen to what Brett said.
The narrative kind of grows and swells for different reasons from time to time, and to be in Chicago and to, you know, talk about one another in that environment on different teams, it didn't surprise me. I would be lying if I didn't say I was thrilled to read what I read, but it doesn't surprise me. I just think it validates to the rest of the sort of basketball hoop world that life's not as bad as sometimes it's made out to be here in Philadelphia.
Now, Jack, he said a whole lot there, but all I heard was the beginning and the end, where he said, quote, the narrative, and at the end, things are not as bad as they may seem in Philadelphia. I could be wrong here, but I know we've had multiple conversations sitting courtside watching a game where you question, you know, their on-court relationship, yet Brett's saying it's been a narrative by the media. What's going on here?
I don't know if it's necessarily been a narrative by the media, but it is a narrative by the fans. And what's going on here is that, in fact, I mentioned this a while ago in a column, what's going on here is that impatience that these people have with trying to win a championship. And that was a result of making them sit through that process for a long time. So now they're impatient. Now they're looking for things. They're looking for things that aren't there. And here's where I'll agree with Brett Brown, that it's not as bad as people say it is. They've played 27 home games. They've won 25 of them. Mm. They won 51 games last year. They won 52 games the year before. This is a pretty decent situation you're looking at here. And the constant drumbeat that there's something wrong, that these guys don't get along with each other, that this guy can't coach, it's absurd to me. Now, I was there yesterday. We were there yesterday, and when he said that, he didn't mean anything controversial. It's got a chance to be one of these things that just pop up and it gets broken into some kind of odd context and is run with, where he says things aren't as bad as it's imagined in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. Is this going to be the next Brett Brown is anti-fans or something. That wasn't that way at all. That's not what he meant. And when he said the narrative, he was addressing the question about the narrative. The narrative that somehow Embiid and Simmons don't get along. Whether or not they're the best of friends, I couldn't tell you that. But one thing we do know is that sometimes one wants to play faster and one would prefer to play slower. That's a coaching challenge. And how do you measure a coaching challenge? Wins and losses.
Yeah. Right.
So it was judging by wins and losses, it's not as bad as people say. So to me, that's how I interpret what Brett Brown said.
Yeah, I took it that he was happy that they were talking nice about each other, you know, when they were in Chicago, so that people around the league don't see it as a problem. I didn't see it. The one thing in your column that I was very interested in, you were writing about the thing you said about Ben Simmons, that he's excellent at most tasks, but yet comically determined to big time his coach with his refusal to shoot anywhere from past. So they just have to learn to live with this, right? I mean, he's not changing and Embiid's not changing, so you got to make it work.
Bingo, Ray, and that's exactly right. I mean, when Brett said, I'd like Ben Simmons to take 1 3-pointer a game, and then Ben Simmons has taken 0 3-pointers a game, I want to say that was, what, 35, 40 games, however many, multiple games, many games ago. That's not a coincidence. There's no way that was a coincidence that Ben Simmons decided, I'm not taking any more 3-pointers. Now that I've been. So it's he wants to impose his will on what he wants to do with his own career, and that's fine. And you're absolutely right. And I've written that as well. He does so many things well that you might as well just live with it. Embiid and Simmons aren't going anywhere, so you might as well go to Portland, Maine, spread out a bunch of play call sheets, and figure out how to make this work. And whether or not they're the best of buddies or the best of friends, I never got the sense that they're enemies. I've never heard them really say negative things about each other. And as I said, I've seen 27 home games this year, and 25 of them were wins. So it's not really the catastrophe that sometimes characterized as.
You lead me right into the next question I wanted to ask you, Jack. And you're right. And I agree with you, by the way. I have never seen in the locker room at practice anything that would suggest that Ben and Joel do not like each other. That's just something that's kind of forced because we see how, you know, their games haven't gelled on the court. Now, you mentioned 25-2. You cannot look past that. That is an incredible record at home. Having said that, we know with their record 9-19 on the road, one of the worst in the NBA. No NBA team has ever made the NBA Finals when they finish the regular season with a road record below 500. Everybody's trying to figure out why they're so bad on the road. In your opinion, Jack, do you think one of the reasons they've underachieved away from home has to do with not having leadership within the locker room, kind of bring everybody together, keep everybody straight?
I like that idea. When you say it like that, yeah. It's they really don't have a leader. Josh Richardson is trying to become that. He's developing into that. But Embiid's not a leader. You saw the way that Jimmy Butler pushed him around last year. Simmons is not a leader. He's too selfish for that. Tobias Harris is very good with the media and things like that. But he's always been, second, third player on his team, never really the lead player on any team he's been with. He could be a leader. It looks like Josh Richardson is developing as that leader, and he's only been here like half a year, so let's see what he does going forward. But, yeah, that could be a good point. I have to think that there's some law of averages involved here. They're not going to lose 20 out of every 30 games on the road going forward. The schedule breaks for them a little bit. It's not a bad schedule heading into the last 27 games. If they win some road games and start to get some confidence that they can win the road games, that should be able to carry them in a playoff series where you only have to win one or two. And then they're capable of doing that.
Jack, I want to squeeze in one or two baseball questions with you as well as you jump right from Sixers over to Phillies once the Sixers season ends. Now, a common argument among a lot of Phillies fans is how much a difference Joe Girardi's going to make in the win column. Jack, you just experienced Gabe Kapler. You've covered many managers in the past. How much of a difference, in your opinion, will Joe Girardi make?
Immense. It'll be an immense upgrade. just from the situation where he's not going to tolerate the failure that Gabe Kapler tolerated. And you could say, well, the failure came before Kapler's tolerance of it. So they weren't good enough to win anyway. That's why they were failing. But there might be a point there. But once he tolerated it and excused it and in some cases celebrated it, that was the one that put me over the top. Mm-hmm. Celebrating failure, that's when players really were given the okay to check out.
You mean that at-bat in the ninth inning, a game they were down by like 15 runs?
That was that one, and the day that they struck out three times, yes, in the ninth in a one-run game. Three up, three down, three strikeouts, you lose by one. He comes in and says what great at-bats they were. I can remember just taking my notebook, folding it up and saying, get me out of here. I'm going to lose my mind if I hear this. So if I'm thinking that, well, I don't know necessarily what the players are thinking, but they got to be thinking, well, it seems to be okay if I strike out in the ninth inning,
right?
And you're not going to get that with Joe Girardi. But more than that, more than the motivational thing, you're going to get a you're not going to have bullpen by committee anymore. You're going to have distinct bullpen roles, which major league relief pitchers crave. You're going to have more regular batting orders, and I kind of liked the way that a lot of things that Kapler did with his batting orders, they made sense and he explained them very well. That's the one thing I did like about him, but the players didn't like it as much as I thought that the concept was better than actually the execution. So you're going to have more regular batting order, you're going to have definitely a better bullpen, and you're going to have less tolerance of failure. So anywhere from 5 to 10 wins. Of course, you have to stay healthy, but he is going to be an immense improvement over what they had last year and the year before that.
Final question for you, Jack. The NL East is no cakewalk. Every team in the division got better. A lot can happen between now and October. But right now, Jack McCaffrey, where do you see the Phillies finishing within the division?
Right there, second or third, right there, second probably, with a chance to win a wild card or a second wild card. I refuse to believe that so many of us were wrong last year when we saw them and said that that's a good team. They've upgraded their manager. They've upgraded their clubhouse atmosphere with getting Gregorius and removing Hernandez. They've upgraded their pitching with Wheeler. Jake Arrieta, he is an absolute competitor, and he's come back from this elbow injury before. And from what we're reading now from Clearwater, he's ready to go. So if Jake Arrieta, he's not going to be the Cy Young Jake Arrieta, the two no-hitter Jake Arrieta. Those days are gone. But he could be a really good number three starter. Eflin's got the ability to be a number four starter. You've got the pitching coach. You got a real pitching coach now. You didn't have that last year. Right? I mean, the guy's got a lot of experience as a pitching coach and as a manager. So now you're going to need a number five starter. Maybe you pick one of those up before the trade deadline. Bryce Harper is going to go down as the best player the Phillies have ever had in their organization. JT Realmuto is the best catcher in the game.
A healthy McCutcheon.
Vegas set that at 85.5. They're going to shatter that 85.5 and go well past that.
Shatter.
There we go. Wow. Jack McCaffrey, Delco Times. Read him every day and often. For links to all his stories and the latest Sixers and Phillies news, follow him on Twitter if you don't already, at Jack McCaffrey. Jack, thank you so much.
My pleasure, Sean. Thanks, guys.
How about that? You see that? Al, that's a nice posse. We've had, you know, those.
Did you and Jack go have Lucky Charms this morning for breakfast?
I don't appreciate this attitude. We come in here all jolly with positive tidings, and you're trying to shoot us down. Who are you?
Over 85. I mean, no, easily Al, shatter?
Yeah, shatter.
Shatter. Well, man. If we remember, the Phillies were doing well when McCutcheon went down.
Yeah, really.
And that
well.
Was a huge difference. That was a huge, massive loss to them last year.
Mm-hmm.
And if he's healthy, that makes a big difference. But Al, you think Jack was too positive in that phone call?
To shatter 800. I
mean, the general tone of his call. Well, no, because Jack is so good at it. He does it when he's writing, and he does it when he's speaking.
Yeah.
When you asked about the leadership thing, I was sitting here laughing. He goes, Well, you know, Embiid's not a leader. He got pushed around by Jimmy Butler, and Ben's too selfish. And I'm sitting there.
His inner monologue's coming out.
Only Jack can do that so casually and just roll on. It was very funny.
Jack doesn't care what anybody else says.
He'll tell you how he feels.
He cannot be persuaded.
Five, a shout out.
I always remember Jack coming in interviews, and he didn't pull any punches.
Did he have the tape recorder? Did he have the cassette recorder?
Yeah, he did.
He still uses the cassette recorder.
It's awesome.
He's nailed down the market on what's ever left of those cassette tapes, Al.
Every now
and then they catch a player by surprise.
Oh, the best was it Tobias Harris?
Yeah.
Ooh, what is that?
What? No idea.
I thought it was a medical device.
It's great after games because we're all in a press room together and it's nice and quiet. Everybody's working. And then you hear the screeching of the cassette tape as he's quickly rewinding it to listen to a cut.
I picture him on a beach in Sea Isle with that and Angela with the coin finder thing.
With the Angela with the black socks on.
Jim in Jersey's on WIP. Jim, do you agree with Jack? You have the Phillies finishing much better than some are projecting?
I do not. What I have to say is probably going to go over like a lead balloon this morning.
All right.
All of you seem to be very giddy about them. But
let us have it, Jim.
Well, I heard you talking about the top of the show about how much money the Phillies have spent in the last 2 years, and I think that's part of the problem. It only took 2 years for the boy wonder, Matt Klentak, to paint this team into a corner with respect to any kind of payroll flexibility. Mm-hmm. It made my heart sick when I saw Todd Frazier sign with Texas for a measly $5 million. Yeah. He's a local boy. He grew up in Trenton, and he's a solid third baseman. And I think his game would play well in Philly. We had to watch. I was like, $5 million, where were we? And then a couple of days later, I see the Braves take a flyer on King Felix Hernandez for $1 million, and it's not even guaranteed. And I was thinking, where were we?
Jim,
we don't have the financial flexibility to make a move now.
No, well, it's the unwillingness to have that, to want to spend the money. They have the money. We know there's no cap. But no, you're right. As much as we're praising, there's a lot of criticism to go around with Klentak, especially within the farm. You look within the division alone, they all have one or two, like, wow, that's a superstar player that was homegrown. The Phillies don't have that. You have Scott Kingery, who's a super utility man right now. You don't know what he can be, but you have no one. Everybody's, you know, grasping at straws, hoping Alec Boehm or Spencer Howard become those next great Major League Baseball players, but they're prospects. You have no idea. Jim, I want to get you in a running for one of these awesome prizes. Give me someone who's known for their facial hair.
How about that baseball great Raleigh Fingers?
Raleigh Fingers. He had the, what, handlebars, right?
Handlebar mustache. He's still got it. I saw him 2 years ago.
All right, hang in there, Jim. Some handlebar mustache, Al. You ever think of little beeswax, tweel them on the end?
Beeswax.
They used to use beeswax.
Beeswax. No? Yeah. I know they have the mustache stuff. Is that
they
beeswax?
On current day, yes, they have that. But back when Raleigh Fingers was going full mustache.
Yeah, he does still have it. He does still have that mustache. You know, you brought up Boa, and then he brought up Kingery. And although Boa, he said a lot of stuff yesterday, what was kind of lost in there when he mentioned that Kingery should be at second base.
Mm-hmm.
And he was pretty strident about it.
Yeah.
And I think he'll have the ear of the manager on this as a guy that turned double plays.
It's someone who Girardi looked up to.
I suspect, although everybody doesn't think it's going to happen, Boa was pretty strong on it that, mm-hmm. you know, I don't make the call of Joe. But when you have a guy like that who comes out publicly and says this guy should be there, I think he may sway it. I think he may sway the manager to make that decision.
I hope you're right. Matt Breen is going to join us. Excuse me, I'm not Matt Breen. Matt Gelb, from The Athletic is going to join us at the top of the 8 o'clock hour, who's down there with the team right now. We'll find out what the latest is going on there and changes that could be made. I want to get you in the running to win some of these awesome. I have Daryl Hall and John Oates tickets. I have tickets to Temple Basketball. I have Jimmy Buffett tickets, 4-packet tickets to the Philadelphia Fishing Show. Give me someone with great facial hair. Billy King has great facial hair. WIP Sports Time 719.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.